0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And Joe at rt.ie and 51551 is our text number. And Breda has contacted us. Breda, good afternoon.
How are you, Joe? How are you?
It's about a musical. It's called
The Titanic, the musical.
It's coming to Dublin. And what's the problem?
It's coming to Bordgosh in early August.
Okay.
And I've heard these ads recently on the radio, Titanic, the musical. And I just don't think it's right. I'm horrified by it, really, because it's a terrible, horrific, desperate tragedy that happened. And now the fact that people are going to put on shows and a musical in Ireland for the public entertainment and making money out of such a tragedy.
And it's been going since 1997 in the States and in the UK, I think. But 1997, the same year. What about Titanic, the movie? That was a money-making exercise, was it not?
Yeah, I know about Titanic, the movie, but that was back and I went as myself, but it was just really about, that was kind of to show people what happened and that, you know, the love story and that. But now we all know about it, and I don't think there's any need to make a musical out of it.
And have you listened to any of the music? Not that you have to have an opinion, by the way, but you just think the whole topic is too tragic.
Yeah, I just think it's wrong. It's not right that people be doing a musical out of the Titanic, like what happened.
Okay. Let me bring in Jerry Dempsey. Jerry, you have a relation or relations who were on the Titanic. Who was that, Jerry?
On my mother's side, Joe.
Okay.
Michael McAvoy. He was from Ballacolla, from Cluck in County Leash. And he was on the Titanic with Nora Murphy. And she survived, he died.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, 110 years ago, Joe. So, and I don't see any problem with, you know, bringing a musical on, you know, to the Bordgosh Theatre. I think it's good to keep the memory alive. You know, it's a tragedy what happened. Mm-hmm. I mean, these people, quite a number of them suffered and died during that tragedy.
Well, over 1,570, was it? 17 people were killed.
Yeah, that's
died.
Yeah. So what's wrong with a musical if it keeps the memory of those that perished? You know, it's it was a tragedy. And it's over 100 years now, Joe. It's 110 years ago since that happened.
1912, yeah. Breda, what if Jerry says is keeping the memory alive?
Yeah, that's okay, if he agrees with it. But I just disagree with it, and I just want to know, does anyone else feel the same? Is anyone else thinking the same as me? So, want to discuss on the show.
But, Breda, other musicals are based on tragedies. The Miss Saigon, Les Mis.
I don't know about them now. I don't know what those are about, but I think everyone knows about the Titanic, like, so.
And you could even argue that Toy Show the Musical was based on a tragedy because it was based on the mother dying at Christmas time. But anyway, but it's the fact that, by the way, Breda, are you influenced at all now, which is fine, by the recent tragedy at the site of the Titanic.
No, it's nothing to do with that.
Okay, now because that does remind us that it is a sacred place and it's not to be tampered with lightly. Michal.
Well, I think that was wrong as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Michael Martin.
Good afternoon, John.
Where are you based?
I'm based in Cove, in County Cork.
Cove. Well, okay, the last port. Well, what do you think of the idea of Titanic the musical?
Well, it's been around for a long time, and for many, many years now. In fact, I met some of them when they came to Ireland many years ago.
Okay.
And it's a creative expression, you know, about significant events, you know, in the form of music. And as you point out, there's lots of different expressions. I mean, people still have a profound interest, you know, in the ship, and different creative people express their interest in it in different ways. But there's an eager audience there who want to learn more about it. And at its centre, there is a huge tragedy, of course, and that tragedy has been added to recently. And for me, you know, you'd have respectful remembrance of all of those people. But that doesn't prevent creative expression, you know, of elements of us. You know, artists will present in an artistic form. We do historical walking tours in Cove. Other people will do music. There will people be write poetry. You know, there's a whole range of expression.
But Breida, am I right in thinking your point is that you think a musical, by definition, is lighthearted? Is that it?
Yeah, I just
Let me put it another way. Would you be okay if it was Titanic, the play?
I don't know. Yeah, it wouldn't be as bad as a musical. I just think when I think the play would be wrong as well.
But the musical, the musical. I think we have a clip from it somewhere there. The musical is.
Joe, can I just say something?
Yes, Micheál.
No, it's Jerry.
Jerry, sorry, Jerry. Okay.
Joe, I would have not known about the Titanic. Only the film was on, you know, and it was that's gone back a number of years now, about 50 years ago. The black and white film came on, and it was on the TV at the time.
The original,
and it was my mother. Now she's passed away over nearly 40 years. And, but she just said it to me, you know, and that would have been I would have probably not known other than that. So what's wrong, you know?
So you didn't know your granduncle was on the Titanic?
No, I wouldn't. I was very young at that time, Joe, and I wouldn't have known.
So you were watching the original black and white movie.
Correct.
It was called a night. I think it's a night to remember. Yeah, and that's when the conversation came up.
Correct. Yeah. But in fairness, I got the opportunity then to try and trace my uncle, and which was there was very little information for him because he, you know, I knew the area that he came from. Nora Murphy was a different situation because her family didn't want anyone to contact her. She wanted to be kind of left out of the scene, you know. She wanted to be anonymous and didn't want to be approached whatsoever. So, and again, even to have a child that we could never find out about either. So it was.
So your granduncle, he perished on the Titanic.
Yes.
Nora, women and children first, I presume, survived.
That's right, yeah.
And what happened, Nora? Is that what you're saying you don't know?
Well, she survived for a number of years, but she would not give interviews. Like, she was adamant that she wouldn't speak to reporters or give any version of what happened on the Titanic or anything like that. So she kind of just stayed out of the limelight completely.
And what's your take on the Titanic? Was it a... Is it just a natural disaster, or was it bad ship? Well, it wasn't.
Well, I don't know, but it would have been a natural disaster. There's nothing you can do today. Yeah. It's a different period. You know, and things are completely different then. It's 110 years ago, Joe. You know, it would have been, there's huge improvement since then. And I mean, the ships today are state of the art.
So, Breida, sorry, you want to come back in?
Yeah, sorry, no, I just have to get back to work, Joe. I'm sorry about that. I just wanted to get my mind crossed.
Okay, and you've made it, but it's the fact that it's a musical song and dance about a tragedy. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Breida. Yeah.
Where do you work? Can you tell me?
I'm in Kildare.
Okay, and what ward do you work in? What type of work do you do?
The local authority.
Oh, brilliant! Brilliant. Okay.
Yeah.
Important public service. Thanks, Breida.
Yeah.
Thanks indeed. Micheál and Aveen Sweeney. Aveen, good afternoon. The Thurles Musical Society.
Yes, good afternoon, Joe.
And you're going to tell me?
I'm going to tell you that there is a musical available for amateur musical groups called Titanic the Musical. And we performed it 10 years ago. We did it in March 2013 in the Premier Hall in Thurles. With all local performers.
Okay.
And I just wanted to tell you that the one point is that it's nothing like the film in that there's no Rose or Jack characters in the musical. What the characters in the musical are, some of them were real people, you know, especially the first class passengers and the crew, the captain and some of the crew and the radio operator and, you know, people like that. And then some of the second class and third class would be more fictionalised, probably, all right. But my point really is, Joe, that the music is gorgeous. It's absolutely wonderful music. It's beautiful music. Okay. It's not, I mean, Breeder's point, like, it's not happy-clappy, you know, in a musical song and dance kind of way. It's treated very respectfully. And it's wonderful. And I'd be encouraging people to go and see it.
And what was the reaction to it?
Oh, fantastic. We had lovely, great crowds now in the at the premiere at the big hall there in Thurles, and it can fit lots of people. And people really liked it. I mean, anybody coming into the show, Joe, knows the story in that they know that a lot of people die at the end, obviously. But no, they thought, and it was very moving. Like, we won, actually, an award for with AIMS. I'm not sure if you're aware of AIMS,
of
the Association of Irish Musical Societies.
We won
Best Technical that year for our stage. And
I know you have to pay rights and all that, but do you think it is the Titanic, the musical you put on, was it the one that's travelling around the West End and obviously a different cast and coming to Dublin?
Oh, I assume it is, yes. Yeah. Yes, I assume it's the same music. Yeah, yeah. The one we had now, I didn't check out who wrote the music for the one that's coming, but the one we did was the music and lyrics were by, I think it's Maury Yeston, is how it's pronounced.
Yeah, that's the name of our yeah.
And the story and book by Peter Stone.
And Avian, how does it work? You apply to put it on, is it, to an agency or whatever?
We do. We apply to the agency that would hold the performing rights. Yeah.
And how do they, I don't want the intimate details, but how do they work out how much you have to pay?
Oh, most of the rights holders, it would be a percentage of your takings, you know, depending on the size of your venue.
Okay.
Or they would have a minimum fee anyway per night.
Okay. But it'd be better. It'd be better as a percentage of takings now, wouldn't it?
I really don't know, Joe, to be honest. I was never a treasurer of our society, and I can't remember what we paid over the years. But it would be a pricely sum, like, and you'd be paying, you'd be paying four figures, like, in rights.
Oh, would you? Okay.
Oh, we would, yeah.
Okay, it's a fascinating area. Sorry, Jerry.
Yeah.
Michael.
Sorry, just maybe to reassure your first caller, something that mightn't be widely known. In August of 2000, very good friend of mine, a great Irish explorer and diver called Rory Golden, was involved in one of the expeditions visited the wreck site.
Yeah.
And here in Cove, I got a brass plate made up in Cork City, large brass plate, 18 inches by 12.
Okay.
And in it, conscious of the fact that people had passed away down there, we got written on it, commemorating all those lost anonymous Titanic from the people of Cove. I put Queenstown in brackets and I put Ireland on it. And then a good friend of mine, who's a great Gaelic, gave me this lovely old Irish prayer. He told me, and then there was Gatuga on the Asuvna Siri Anamata, which he said was, may God gather our souls into heaven. Rory Golden, who was on that expedition, brought that plaque down and very gently and very gracefully placed that on the bridge of the ship. With all the activities that are going on.
So it's actually,
actually down there.
On the Titanic.
That's down there now, yeah. And it's a prayer from that, you know, on behalf of the people of Cove and Ireland.
Oh, that's lovely.
For
all
those who died. And the tragedy is that, you know, another five people have been mad at that recently. And, you know, we're respectful around all of these areas. Mm. And everybody's conscious of the fact that a lot of people died, and everybody's conscious of the fact that people were recently lost, including Rory, who knew most of those people.
I did, I heard, I know we got, I know during that, the Titan tragedy there, the Ocean War tragedy a few weeks ago, we had a number of people contact us about Rory. I think they were trying to find out whether he was out there or not, but he has a
I mean, he knows these people are friends of his. He's grieving for them, you know.
Oh my God,
he's grieving for them. But like, I just thought that it might be of comfort to your first caller, Breeda. You know that there's other plaques down there. I don't know what's on them. What Rory got down there for us, and it was done by a local foundry here in Cork City. The Chamber of Commerce Cove actually paid for it, as I remember.
Well, okay.
I organised this, and Rory brought it down. But that prayer is down there, you know.
And Michael, I know you run the tours and Titanic and Cove.
Yeah.
and the exhibition centre, the former railway station there. Do you still get people saying, I was related to somebody who died on the Titanic?
Yeah, you get lots of people. In fact, you could say if you had a euro for every person in the last 25 years, we established the Titanic Trail 25 years ago, and if you had a euro for everybody that said they had a cousin who missed it or who was supposed to go on it, there would have been 3 million people on it, you know. But it just has that global sort of interest. I only had a group of 40 visitors from the US an hour ago, and they're still fascinated by the story, always in a respectful way. You know, there's nobody makes fun or there's nobody denigrates and nobody that doesn't realise the enormous tragedy of it. So we treat the story. We do these tours every day, all year long, twice a day, and we treat the whole story with the respect that it deserves. But there's huge interest in it.
And Michael, have you been to the Titanic Centre in Belfast?
I have. I was up there on the opening day of it, and got to stand on the staircase and met the people involved there. And I've been to the various sites in Halifax, Nova Scotia and Cherbourg and all of that.
But the Titanic in Belfast, to be honest, I found a little bit disappointing because there's no artefacts. There's nothing from the Titanic in the Titanic Centre.
A lot of the exhibits around the around the world don't have artefacts. You know, some of the artefacts were brought around the world like a travelling exhibit that everybody could see. But an awful lot of the exhibitions around, they don't call themselves museums because they don't have artefacts.
Okay,
they call themselves exhibits, you know, and they tell a part of the story. Our tour kind of is more, human-based, and the physical structure of Cove is still as it was back then. Yeah, so people are fascinated when you say, that's the actual building they left from, that's the dock they walked across, you know, and there's still a huge interest in it. And there's, we've had a very positive experience over many years, despite the fact that there's a tragedy. And it enables us to tell the wider story of Cove, the fabulous harbour, the emigration from here, all of those things.
And then if you go out and do the Spike Island tour, which is brilliant as well, you go out on the ferry there, the shuttle, and you're actually, one of the joys of that journey is you turn around and you look back in at Cove from where the same position, I suppose, as the people on the Titanic looked at it. It looks absolutely magnificent with the cathedral towering there. It's a beautiful, beautiful
sight. And the coloured buildings, and it's beautiful from the water.
Yeah,
absolutely beautiful.
That's my point, okay, Michael, stay there. Loads of people. I want to bring in Kevin Hock, formerly of this parish, and the Lyrics Board. Kevin, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe. How are you doing?
Great. Of course, you've seen the original.
I did, Joe. During the Theatre Nights days, we went over to New York to interview some of the cast. And I never forget it. It was absolutely fantastic. I strongly recommend it. I mean, as that lady said, it's not a belly full of laughs. We all know what happened in the end. And there's only one really lively number where the first class passengers are dancing at one stage on the top deck. But other than that, it's quite serious. And I mean, it's very moving. But the crow's nest comes down from the centre of the ceiling in the theatre. And when they discover the iceberg, that's all very, very dramatic. And when you go into the theatre, they have a passenger list just in the foyer. They have a list of everybody who sailed on the Titanic.
Okay.
And it's treated with great respect. I mean, it was just absolutely marvellous. I was really taken with it because you can imagine how difficult it is to stage Titanic going down.
Okay.
You know, there's this huge, big... we interviewed a guy who was actually involved in that. It's a huge spring, like a big hydraulic sort of spring.
Okay,
Kevin,
sorry for going to stay with us. I want to take a break, but I want to try and improve your line. We'll be talking to you after this break. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
We're talking about Titanic the musical because Breida contacted us. She heard the radio ads for the musical, which is coming to the Borgosh Energy Theatre in Dublin, and she was unhappy. Not with the idea of the Titanic, because she went to see Titanic the movie, and there's a Titanic play as well, but the fact that it is Titanic the musical, and she associates that with song and dance. Kevin, what do you think of the whole idea of Is it done reverentially?
It is, Joe. And just, I must just say that when I was very young, in the 50s, my mother had a piece of music called Titanic, right?
Okay.
And the music went right through from the very beginning when the passengers board until the ship goes down when they sing Nearer My God to the End.
Okay.
And it was marvellous because this piece of music was, it's very cleverly written, and I wish I had it now, but we moved house and I lost the sheet music. But it was fantastic because the music for the Iceberg, I remember my mother playing right down the end of the case of the piano, and it was all very dramatic. And then there was the light stuff when, as I said, you know, when the first class passengers had a polka. And that was the only sort of light music in the show. It's all very serious, but it was beautifully done. And I have to say, technically, I actually don't know how they did it, because at one stage when the boat is going down, a baby grand piano flies down from stage right to stage left.
Things like that,
and the candelabra and all the furniture, all that thing is happening. It's very busy, busy, busy,
so
as you can imagine. And, I mean, the panic must have been absolutely awful. But I think people should see it because it's a great education, apart from anything else.
Okay, okay. Kevin Hawk, great to hear your voice again. That's Kevin Hawk, formerly of this parish, and great musical... great musical skill on the piano, you know, from the lyrics board, and lots of other activities around the entertainment truck musical world as well. Sarah Brennan, Sarah, good afternoon. Joe at RT.ie.
How are you, Joe?
Grand, yep. You performed?
Yeah, I was part of a production of Titanic the Musical with Kilkenny Musical Society in April 2019. And we had an absolutely fantastic week with the show, completely sold out in the Watergate Theatre here in Kilkenny. And we received standing ovation every night, and the feedback from the show was just incredible. And just from the point of view of the cast, we just had a really special time on the show. It was done so respectfully, and we all, you know, went and researched our characters. Some were fictional in the show, you know, and tried to portray those characters as best we could. But my question is, like, why is it any different? Just because it's a musical, why is it any different than, say, the art form of the movie? Like, we can all agree that the music in the movie enhanced the film and the dramatics of it. Like, I don't see why live on stage it's any different. Like, there's a kind of a perception that musical theatre is fluffy and all jazz hands, but, like, that's just not the case. It's a beautiful show, and it's done really well.
Yep. But going back to Breida's point, she's thinking of 1,517 people who died. And one of the suggestions or points I got from her is, like, you wouldn't sing, are there any songs in Titanic the Musical that you would sing at a funeral? The answer, I presume, is no.
No, because out of context.
But we are talking about 1,517 funerals.
Yeah, like, obviously not all the characters are mentioned in it, but you get the volume, you get the idea of the volume of people that are there. There's quite a big cast in it. Just like the movie, you know, there is the main characters there, but, like, there's some beautiful moments. There's one of the, I can't remember the names now, but one of the more elderly couples, the Strausses that are on the ship. There's a beautiful song where the two of them, you know, they actually refuse to leave the boat, and there's beautiful moments in it. You know, telling the story of them on the ship.
Yeah. By the way, Sarah, I meant to ask this question earlier. When Titanic the Musical was on in Kilkenny, did you get anyone saying, fetching up, saying, my relatives are on the Titanic?
No, there was stories, all right, and people came. So, like, it obviously showed to us that there's huge interest still in the Titanic. You know, there was various stories, and people brought their own stories to the table. I myself, my own father's from Cove, so I would have always had a great interest in it and would have visited the Heritage Centre as a kid and always been fascinated by Titanic. Huge interest.
Sarah, are there any... have you done other musicals? I presume you have.
Yeah, we have.
Is there any Irish musicals? Obviously, that's quite raw, but given what's happened in here. But there's Toy Show the Musical that was pitched as, you know, an Irish musical. The previous one I remember, and I was referring to you the other day in conversation, was a musical written by Shea Healy called The Wiremen. And The Wiremen came out around 2005, and there was a soundtrack. I remember going to the Gaiety to see it. But, like, that was absolutely... And God rest Shea, he was a genius. But it, and I can see Shea's reaction to some of the reviews. He would have laughed. But I'm reading the review from the Guardian, would you believe, about The Wireman. Every move in the plot is utterly predictable. The characterization is one note, not an ounce of tension or conflict. Shea's music is as uninspired as his book and lyrics. Most of the songs have a simple, repetitive, forgettable melody line and weave in something Irishy towards the end. That's Karen Fricker in the Guardian. Why can't we do musicals in Ireland?
Well, Joe, we have an absolutely amazing, like, there's plenty of musicals in Ireland. But
no,
one of
Irish
the,
musicals, Irish of, musicals.
Yeah, Irish musicals. I can tell you about one that we performed in the Watergate again in 2014, which was Michael Collins, the musical written by a Waterford man named Brian Flynn. Okay. And the music by our own David Hayes and David Ray.
Yeah, but where did... You see, the Titanic part...
The Irish musical.
But the Titanic... Pardon the pun, the musical hasn't sunk without trace. It's being done all over the place. But Michael Collins, has it gone anywhere?
I went to see production of it in Waterford in Theatre Royal, and it was also in the Cork Opera House. Unfortunately, Brian Flynn, the writer, passed away. It was very shortly after we did our own production.
Okay.
And he came to see that, and that was phenomenal. I know one of your listeners there from Thurles was talking about Ames. We actually went to Ames that year with 10 nominations for that show in Kilkenny, and it's one of the most phenomenal pieces of theatre that I've ever seen.
Okay. But my point is, Sarah, I'm not being cheap here, I hope. But, like, Titanic the musical... Michael Collins the musical, I didn't know there was such a thing, hasn't gone anywhere, has it?
Did it even perform in
Dublin or Cork?
Yeah, it performed in Cork Opera House, with a full professional cast.
Okay.
I'm not sure now about Dublin, I wouldn't be able to
give us
that.
Well, give us another Irish, you said there's a few of them. Give us another Irish musical. Well, there wasn't
that. I know a few years.
Yeah, go on.
It was a musical a few years ago, Whiskey in the Jar. That was done again. I can't remember who directly was involved in that.
And what was that about?
Again, it was an Irish story. I don't want to get into too much now because I'm
not trying to catch you out, but you're by your eloquence there, you're answering the question. Nobody remembers Whiskey in the Jar, the musical. No one remembers The Wiremen, the musical. Whatever happened to Angela's Ashes, the musical? Why can't we write musicals in Ireland, the most musical nation in the world? And we can't write a successful musical that will travel. Anyway, I'm completely off the point.
I wouldn't say that we can't write successful musicals. I definitely think, like, again, having seen Angela's Ashes, I thought it was absolutely fantastic. Super.
But where is it gone?
But is there a market for it to keep running constantly like there is in the West End or somewhere? Like, I mean, I don't know how it can keep sustain all the time. Like, as like your listener ringing in and saying about Titanic the musical, like there is a certain snobbery around musical theatre in Ireland. There definitely is. You know, people have this thing that it's fluffy and it should be just, as I said, jazz hands and all, you know, tap dance, and like, that's not the case. Like, serious matters can be done very tastefully in musical theatre. I recently had the pleasure of seeing a show on Broadway, Parade it was called, written by Jason Robert Brown, and it tells the story of Leo Frank, who was a Jewish man who was very wrongly tried many years ago in Georgia, and to this day, it's still a big deal. There was anti-Semitic protests going on outside the theatre. Like, there was groups of neo-Nazis outside the theatre in Broadway. You know, it's huge issues. And, like, only for the likes of this musical highlighting these stories, like, you know, I don't know, would that still be in the current media? Very important topics.
Yeah, well, you see, I can understand, like, individual songs. written about tragedies. I don't know how this came into my head, but last night I started listening to Bob Dylan, and he wrote an incredible song on the death of Emmett Till. Now, you know, Emmett Till has subsequently been made into a movie, and the horrific racist tragedy, a scandalous, horrific stain on American history. But Bob Dylan wrote a song, and it's actually quite a good song, and it does...
Have you seen the Bob Dylan musical, Joe? It was in Dublin all last summer.
Yep, did absolutely nothing for me. I thought it was pulled together.
Amazing.
I thought it was pulled together, and I thought it only came alive in the second... First of all, I couldn't believe there was 22... there was an incredible cast of 22 people, and I know Conor was involved in it, Conor McPherson, mm-hmm. who's a genius. But it only came alive for me in the second part when the whole ensemble start performing together. Up to that, I was at a loss as to what it was about. But anyway, that's where I'm rambling.
Well, look, it's like lots of other art forms. I mean, it's subjective to everybody.
No, I love musicals. I just recently saw Hamilton. I recently saw Wicked, which is absolutely fantastic. I've seen it in Dublin. I saw it in London as well. And then I just love Idina Menzel. I just love her musical stuff, Frozen and Rent, of course. Rent is stunning musical. But anyway, it's not about me. John Hagen, me. John, good afternoon. You say it's in bad taste, Titanic the musical. Why?
Okay, Joe, and good afternoon to you there. Yeah. In my opinion would be, for example, can we have Ukraine the musical, or Twin Towers the musical, or Holocaust the musical? If these things were shown in a very somber and sad way, that would be more acceptable. But a musical by its nature has to be sort of joyful and funny and enjoyable. And I don't think there was anything about the Titanic that was enjoyable once it hit the iceberg.
I understand that. But there was a musical in Dublin. I remember seeing it in the Olympia Theatre. It was written by another genius formerly of this station, great creative genius, just like Kevin, another great creative genius. It was put together by John McKenna. You'll hear John now on Sunday Miscellany, but he also lectures in media studies. And what John did was he took the songs of Leonard Cohen, he was a pal, with permission, and he put it together as a musical, a story around the Holocaust. Now, I'm at a loss. Maybe if John is listening or someone knows John, he can tell us how did it do and what the reaction was to it. And all I can remember is the opening night, but the reaction was positive. It wasn't negative, and the reaction was dignified. But it was about the Holocaust. But I'm just.
Yeah, well, I'm not aware of that or familiar with it, but I just thought also your listeners might be interested, and yourself, of course. My father and grandfather were on the Titanic.
Wow.
I hasten to add, though, as visitors. My grandfather was the Lord Mayor of Cork. He was three times, in fact, the Lord Mayor of Cork, just at the end of the previous century, and he was retired. But when the Titanic came into Cove himself, and he was allowed to bring his my father, who was only five at the time, they were brought out by tender to the Titanic to have a quick look around the ship, meet the captain, etc. And then, happily, they were brought back, or I don't think I'd be talking to you today. But
that's an incredible story. And did your grandfather and father, did he ever talk, well, your father would have been quite young, I presume, did he ever talk about what was it like to be on the Titanic?
Well, believe it or not, they never did. You see, my grandfather died before I was born, and my father, alas, died when I was eight. But my older sister, who was 13 at the time of his death, just in recent times I was talking about the Titanic, because for some very odd reason, growing up, I had this fascination with the Titanic, even though nobody ever talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I had, and I just, when of course the Titanic was found, and then the earlier movies and that, which I saw, the 1958 one and so forth, I was got fascinated with the Titanic, and my daughter, or my sister, said to me, you know, of course, Father was on the Titanic. Well, I tell you, I nearly dropped.
Incredible.
And she told me the story, because he had told her, because she was old enough. I was only eight, as I said. So, it's amazing, but I've been following just about everything about the Titanic, and something that I think is karma. If I could just finish this point.
Yeah, of course,
something that was sort of karma. That recent sub that imploded. If you think about it, the Titanic thought everything is grand. The lookout didn't have binoculars because the key was lost at the time. And sort of everybody said it'd be grand. And this sub that went down to see the Titanic was saying, no, it's grand. Don't worry about the security. Everything is fine. It'll be grand.
John, I should give you another couple of minutes to elucidate on why you think Titanic, the music, is bad taste.
Well, just that anything that... So it was a phenomenal tragedy. All the people that lost their lives, the fact that this policy of women and children first, which is nothing against that directly, but the boats were capable, the lifeboats were capable of holding 70 people. They were tested with 70 big men, but a lot of them went out. The first one went out, I think, with some like 12 in it, and the next one went out with about 20-something. A few of them then, of course, with the list, couldn't be launched. So, you know, it was an awful tragedy. There was no lifeboat drill. They decided to skip that because there was other things going on. They just thought, this is unsinkable because it could stay afloat with four compartments breached. And unfortunately, it went into the fifth and then into the sixth. And just like an ice tray in your fridge, if you tip it a little bit, it flows from one to the other to the other. And that's what caused the Titanic ultimately to be unrecoverable. Okay. And it's an awful, awful shame. And indeed, just by the way, Michael Martin, you were talking there a short while ago, I met him, had the pleasure of meeting him some years ago, and he showed me some actual genuine pieces of coal that he had acquired from the Titanic.
Okay. Put it to you another way, John.
All right, okay.
If there was Titanic, a musical tribute which had solemn music or even classical music, would that make a difference?
I would think so, yeah. If people came away feeling quite sort of sad and shocked, I would think fine. But by its very nature, a musical as a thing from a film
when you say people come away, let's say with us, John, as we speak to Gráinne Gillespie, because I'll ask that exact question that John has prompted, Gráinne. When you saw Titanic, the musical, how did you feel afterwards?
Oh, but I didn't see Titanic, the musical.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I was just saying that.
You said you wanted, you went to see it because George Gakey, who's he? You wanted to see it, okay.
No, it's a different musical I'm talking about. Okay. It's just that I was saying that
My fault. You didn't go to see the musical, and then you say you actually went to see a different musical. Is this Liveline? What program are we listening to? Okay, tell us your connection. Okay, your point is.
Well, basically, I was saying that musicals aren't necessarily lighthearted.
Okay.
Les Miserables isn't a lighthearted musical, and then a couple of months ago, I went to see a play in London called Allegiance, starring Star Trek's George Takei, which is about the Japanese-American internment camps during the Second World War in America.
Okay.
And it's not a light-hearted musical, but George himself was in one of those camps as a child.
Okay. And when you went to see Allegiance, which is based on that another awful episode in American history when they interned anyone either who was Japanese or looked Japanese after Pearl Harbor, they simply interned. What was the music based in one of these internment camps?
It was based. At the start, it was based in where they originally lived, but then most of it was in an internment camp.
Yeah, but. And you thought it was effective?
Yeah, it's a very good, musical.
Yeah, but Gráinne, what do you think? And I'll bring in other callers as well, but just while you're there. Gráinne, what do you think of what John Hagan Mead is saying? Like, would we have Ukraine, the musical? Or even I'm thinking, again, and I hate, even when I think it is, it's distasteful. Would you have Drumcree, the musical? Like, surely Drumcree, Northern Ireland, 25 years, the march down the Garvaghy Road. I think it was a Patsy McGarry worked out that because of the blockade and the march being forced through and then the march being stopped. And I mentioned the Quinn children the other day who died on this day 25 years ago. God rest them. And we're thinking of their family. But like Patsy McGarry and the Irish Times worked out that there was 9 people died as a direct result of the Drumcree standoff, as it was known, went on for a number of years. Like, could you have Drumcree? Could you have Bloody Sunday? And again, I say this with enormous respect, please, to families, but we are talking about Titanic the musical. Could you have Bloody Sunday the musical? You couldn't, could you?
Well, I doubt it, because basically those are basically a sort of about during wars and things, whereas Titanic
Miss Saigon, South Pacific.
Yeah, Titanic was basically mainly, it was down to human incompetence.
Okay. But you, and by the way, when you went to see Allegiance in London, which is about the Japanese interned in America during World War II for no good reason, what was the reaction of the audience?
There was a lot of applause over the audience, from the audience.
Okay.
Well, at the end of it, yeah.
Okay. Thanks to the Grania. Good to meet him, Margaret. Grania Gillespie is in at loan. John Hagen Mead, even though his ancestry, his DNA is total Cork, he's in Dublin. Why are you in Dublin, John?
Well, my father, again, through contacts in those days, was who you knew rather than what you knew. He got a position in, I think it was the Bank of Ireland the AIB. But in any case, in those days, people were moved from branch to branch.
Okay.
And he ended up in Kilkenny, where he met a lovely girl, so I'm told, and they got married.
Okay.
And within 18 months, she had developed, not sure what type of cancer, but she died.
Okay.
Then shortly afterwards, a few years afterwards then, he met another woman who he got married. And then when he did, he was moved again to Dublin. And
when I made the point, which was the jump off point, was your suggestion, not suggestion, your analogy, would we do Ukraine the musical? Would we do Drumcree the musical? Would we do Bloody Sunday the musical? I think the answer is no.
Oh, the answer is no, yeah. I mean, as I say, a musical by its very nature, that type of theatre, it's supposed to be humorous, it's supposed to be enjoyable, it's supposed to be musical. Yeah. And there's nothing enjoyable musical, as far as I'm concerned, anyway, regarding the fate of the Titanic and
okay,
all those people.
Okay, okay. Go to me, Margaret. That's John Hagen. Me, Joe at rt.ie, 51551.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
There's a memorial to the Titanic in Longford, I'm told. I don't know why specifically in Longford. There's one obviously in Belfast where the ship was built. There's a beautiful one somebody sent me a photograph of during the break, which is of four statues of three women and a man carrying suitcases heading towards this brilliant gilded hull of a ship. I don't know where that memorial is. It's there's a mountain in the background. There's a memorial in Clonbore in County Offaly to, am I right there in my location, to John Flynn, who perished on the Titanic. And apparently there's a Titanic memorial in the west of Ireland, but anyway, there's lots of it. Continuing, Michael Murphy. Michael, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Titanic the musical, yes or no?
I'm trying to be objective about it, Joe, because I think that what, in essence, we're talking about here is semantics. Musical is a word that trails a whole procession of connotations and associations, trivial, entertaining, lighthearted. You know, we're talking about Finian's Rainbow, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers in Oklahoma. Now, as soon as we cross genres and you're going to deal with a very serious topic, then you have to think about what you're going to call it. Now, in the 1960s, the great folk singer and songwriter Ewan McCall wrote a series of brilliant musical entertainments, shall I say, called ballad operas. Now, opera was a very good choice of word. We're back to semantics again, because when people hear opera, they don't think about what is trivial, unless you specify that it's a comic opera. You know, they don't think about all these associations. So the theatre has to come up with something else besides the word musical. It's too laden with okay. all the wrong labels.
And have you seen many musicals in your so far?
I have indeed, and I saw Les Misérables, and I okay. remember at the time in London there were protests, not on a huge scale, but some critics and some theatre lovers objected to a very, very serious and harrowing novel by Victor Hugo.
Yeah.
It's a masterpiece of so harsh social realism.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you decide I'm going to make a musical out of that, well, now you're crossing boundaries and you have a problem. I think the answer is to come up with another label.
Okay.
Obviously, this kind of dramatic production, you know, Les Misérables, of course, I haven't seen the Titanic yet, but another good example, sorry, I don't want to go on too long.
No, you're fine.
But another good example is Bertolt Brecht. Now, Brecht's drama is, you know, if ever you go to see a Brecht play, he's different from any other dramatist that you know.
Okay.
I'm not going to go into all of that. But he's able to, you know, he's very left-wing and a great social conscience, and he's able to incorporate all kinds of humour, dark humour at times, and yet very, very serious issues, particularly inequality and corruption, totalitarian, all of that, you know. And he doesn't call any of the of his plays musicals. They're dramas, they're plays.
Michael, just to go back to the Titanic again, what is it about the tragedy of the Titanic that has my question is, what is it about the tragedy of the Titanic that has generated so much entertainment? Be it movies, well, I think there's three or four movies, musicals.
Yeah, well, you know the success story of Les Misérables. It's legendary. It became global. They couldn't put it on often enough.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Now, I'm not saying that should happen with the Titanic, but the Titanic is a dreadful, tragic fact. It's closer to Greek drama than a musical. So I'm not saying, I'm not blaming the people who have produced it. I'm sure they're very serious in their intent and very much aware of the incident and the horror. It's horror heaped on horror's head.
But why on the one hand, when you say Titanic, the movie, the musical, Celine Dion, Leonardo DiCaprio, Kate Winslet, Ald, etc., and then the previous one, I think it was A Night to Remember. I think
Night to Remember, why is it
when you say Titanic, the musical, or Titanic, the movie, there is no revulsion per se, but if I was to say, and I try and say it with respect, if you said Bloody Sunday, the musical, your stomach turns immediately. My stomach turns
because we're back to semantics. Musical is the wrong word. There is a place for putting Bloody Sunday, and I heard you mention Drumcree and the whole, you know, I'm not sure if it's tragic, but the whole awful reality of bigotry and division in the north of Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
There is a place, but as you say, you have to tread warily if you're going to call your creation a musical. Another word needs to be devised.
Okay.
Just as you and McCall came up with comic opera. Oh, no, sorry, not comic opera. He came up with ballad opera, and that describes what he did beautifully.
What's your own favourite musical, Michael?
My favourite musical, I think probably Saigon.
Miss Saigon, set in Vietnam.
Yes.
But the fall of Saigon,
It was very well done, and, you know. I mean, obviously, again, a serious, a very, very serious and in many aspects tragic incident in certainly in American history and in world history. Yeah. So you just have to be, it's this choice of word musical that's causing all the problem.
Okay. Point well made, Michael. Appreciate it. I hope soon, Michael, I see you're from Ringsend. I hope soon, beginning tomorrow week, that we'll have Abby Larkin, the musical, the brilliant, brilliant, brilliant Irish soccer player, part of the brilliant Irish soccer squad in Australia at the moment. And Abby Larkin, as you know, lives there near near the East Link Bridge. And as I see the billboards and the posters out, so best of luck to Abby and the whole crew. Good to meet them all. Get a Vahil. Jimmy Adams. Jimmy. Slán Fáilte. Good morning. Jimmy in Tralee.
Hello.
Titanic the musical. Titanic the musical. Yes, yes or no?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yes, Joe. Listen, Joe, I'm going up on the green bus on August the 3rd here from Tralee to see the matinee Titanic the musical. Love it.
And what have you heard about it?
Well, Joe, the Tralee Musical Society here, I'm a member of them, and we put it on in 2009.
Okay.
Here in Tralee. And we put on Michael Collins the following year. You were mentioning it earlier. And the place was sold out. And the thing about Titanic the musical, it tells the story, the tragic story of the Titanic, right? And we all know how tragic it was. Mm-hmm. But through music, beautiful choral music, there's beautiful, the set, the costumes, you have the ship, you have the first-class passengers, the second-class passengers. There's a running team story through it. But when you come out of it, Joe, you're really in touch with your feelings and your emotions. I'll admit it, you're mentally drained. But there's a sense that you have... Okay.
When it was proposed to do it by the Musical Society, was there anyone saying, oh, hang on a minute now, Titanic the musical is a little bit queasy?
Yeah, you get that. You know, there was a committee meeting, you know, the local committee meeting on the Musical Society would discuss all that. They decide during the year what musical they're going to put on for the year. As the lady said earlier, rights.
You went ahead and it went down well. Okay, yeah. Okay, it's very successful.
But just one more point there. Yes, Jimmy, you mentioned other musicals like Jesus Christ Superstar. That's a fantastic musical. Yeah, yeah. And that's a story of Jesus and the crucifixion. I've seen that. We did that here as well, going back a good few years ago. It was sold out. I think... We all grew up, Joe. You know, I grew up in the 60s, and I remember my dad playing The Sound of Music, right? And you had The Wizard of Oz and all the records.
The Sound of Music has Nazis in it.
Yeah. And South Pacific. Yeah. South Pacific. Last year, I went up to see South Pacific in the Bord Goss, and there was a running team there. The King and I.
That was on recently.
You're the King of Siam, and you know the way, not respecting women, you know, and that the King of Siam... the thing about music, we love music. The musical, the Titanic is a very emotional, fantastic choral production.
Okay. Well, as you say,
everybody that goes to it, Joe, will enjoy it.
Okay. And hopefully, Okay, Jimmy, go to Mila Market. I mentioned in the promo when I was talking to Neil there just after 12:30 that we got contacted by a woman in Limerick saying her son was in Dublin last weekend. This is talk about a needle in a haystack. And he was lost. And he was saved, rescued and assisted by a woman called Mary. That's basically what we knew, Mary, and that she drove a Renault Zoe. Everyone's driving a Renault. Drives a Renault Zoe, and she might have been from the East Wall part of the... I thought it was a needle in a haystack, but let's see what happened after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Delphi and Duffy. Delphi and good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
You're in Limerick. You contacted us. Why?
Well, my son went up to the All-Ireland semi-final, the hurling final there on Saturday, Limerick versus Galway, right? He's a Limerick supporter. And so we went up on the bus with the lads, right? But we could only get him, the only seat we could get him back was on an earlier bus, but it was on his own. And we had warned him that he'd have to leave the match maybe 10, 15 minutes early, look up his Google Maps and get back to Burge Quay for the bus home, you know, because there was no other seats available on any other bus. So he did that. He left Croke Park early. Google Maps, he looked it up. And then he kind of thought to himself, Janie Mac, where am I? So Google Maps had brought him to the East Wall.
Okay.
And he kind of thought, Janie Mac, I thought it was on the other side of the river. So he redirected Google Maps, and then his phone died.
Oh, God.
So he was in Dublin on his own. He's not familiar at all with Dublin.
Yeah, and by the way, Delphine, just to say to people, okay, people might know East Wall. It's a beautiful enclave on the north side of the river, which calling it East Wall can be a little bit confusing to know where you are. But anyway, it's a lovely enclave, but it's completely and totally dwarfed now by an enormous slew of new apartments, office blocks. It's a maze down there. No matter if you were like Sean O'Casey, born, well, reared around there anyway, and grew up there. But anyway, so understandably, Evan is lost.
Oh, he was way off track, and he discovered that just before his phone died, because Google Maps redirected him, and he knew he had to go to the other side of the river. So he started to kind of running around thinking, oh God, how am I going to get here? And he spotted this lady, this amazing woman. it's still so emotional. But he spotted Mary in her front garden gardening. And he said, he went over to her and he explained his dilemma. And he said, look, I have to get this bus home. It's my only way to get home. All I have left is €15, and please, can you help me get across the river? And I'll give you the €15 for the petrol.
Okay.
So Mary took off her gardening gloves and brought my son to the bus. He got the bus home, and when he got off the bus, he said, lads, I have a great story for you, because he obviously couldn't tell us on the bus because his phone had died. So I emailed you, Joe, because I really wanted to thank Mary, because
Mary,
could have been a different outcome.
And I mentioned it earlier about Mary from East Wall, and we got a phone call from this woman, Margaret Gormley, who's obviously not called Mary. Margaret, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
And where are you? You're living in East Wall.
Yeah, I'm living in East Wall. Third generation of East Wall person.
Great.
And I know that lady. I know her very well. She lives right facing me on across the road.
Okay, so when I said Mary from East Wall, and she was it, what was the piece of the jigsaw that put it together for you?
Yeah, she's a retired school teacher.
Okay.
Yeah.
And does she drive a Renault?
She drives a Renault. Now, I'm not familiar with cars, but I knew it was a Renault. Yeah.
Okay.
Neither am I, Margaret. Yeah.
Well, there's one for everyone in the yard. Margaret, so you clicked. You said to yourself. You said to yourself. So you were listening to the promo, and so you ran across the road.
That's right.
And you
knocked at the door. Mary came out, and I said, Mary. I said, did you do a very kind act for a boy on Saturday? And she said, oh, my goodness. And she said, she's not a very, she's a modest person.
Yeah, like everyone in East Wall, Margaret.
Oh, stop.
Modesty is your middle name.
Stop. Anyway, she was a bit overcome, and I said the boy's mother wants to thank you. I heard her on the radio today, and she's the type of a person that would do something like that. She's very kind, and she's a very good neighbour. So, I mean, I said to myself, there has to be Mary. I went over anyway. I spoke to her, and I gave her the phone, and she was speaking to your researcher.
Okay, and we were talking to her an hour ago, but now she's obviously gone off to do. Another good Samaritan gesture, because she said, "Oh yeah, I'd love to talk to Delphine, but we're ringing her at the moment." Margaret,
that's gas.
Margaret, will you look out? Are you near the hall door?
Yeah, Yeah, hold on. I'll go out to the
open the hall door for me, will you?
Yeah, I'll go out to the hall.
Can I just say, Joe, Mary didn't even want, she didn't take anything from Evan. She just said to him, you do a good deed now.
Oh, yeah, pass
Evan.
It on. Pass
you
it
do
on.
A good deed.
Margaret, is, are you at your hall door?
I am, yeah.
Can you see Mary's house?
Yeah, it's right across the road from me.
Is the car outside it?
Yep, it is.
The curtain's drawn.
No, I'm going over and I'm going to knock
good
at the door.
Knock at the door. Well done. Keep walking. Yeah. And mind yourself crossing that road. They're narrow roads. And there's cars parked on both sides. Just be careful. So where are you now? Has Mary got she's a small garden because she's weeding her garden last week.
She has a bit of growth up the top of it. She's a big drive in for her car.
Will you knock on the door?
Yeah, hold a wish.
Mary!
Mary! The door is open. Hold on.
Oh, Mary.
Mary, do you want to get on my phone here?
Yes. Mary.
Joe wants to talk to you. And the lady.
Mary.
Hello, Joe.
Mary, I know you are hiding under the duvet. There's no escape. There's no escape. Why aren't you answering your phone, Mary?
Never rang. I don't know what happened.
Evans, will you tell us what happened last Saturday? It's not Saturday, yeah. You're in your garden.
I was here, Joe, in the front garden, and I was putting up a few old weeds. And the next minute, this young man comes along and he says to me, could he pay me to drive him into Burg Quay? Well, this is an unusual request. Unusual request, Joe, you know. So I looked at him and I said, he said he'd pay me €15. And I said, I said to him, where are you going? And I asked him what he needed to get in there for. So he said to me then, Joe, that he needed to get in because he was coming from the match. He was on his own. His phone was low, and that he needed to catch the bus by 2:15.
And he was lost. His sat nav had gone. He was lost.
He was totally lost, Joe. He was totally lost. So then, I could see that he wasn't going to get the bus unless I helped him. So I just weighed the situation up for a moment, and I thought, this guy needs help. You know, I of course I'll drive him in. It's only down the road, you know. And so we hopped in, hopped in the car, and I had a lovely electric car, and he told me about his dad's electric car. And then I drove him in, Joe, and he got to the bus on time, so I was very pleased.
Oh,
and
well
I'm just
done.
I'm absolutely baffled to be on the National Airways about
well,
this.
Well, Mary, do you want to give me, it's up to you, so do you want to give me your second name?
My second name is McMahon.
McMahon, yeah. Okay. Delphine Duffy, you can talk directly there to Mary McMahon. Delphine.
Well, thanks, Joe. Thank you so much, Mary, for saving Evan on Saturday, because you're such a kind person. I don't know what would have happened to him if he hadn't come across you. And I didn't know how to get in touch with you because he hadn't got your second name, or he couldn't remember the name of the street or anything, which was totally reasonable as well. But I just thought everybody listens to Joe, or that the neighbours will be listening to Joe, and that's the only way I'm actually going to be able to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for getting my son home safe on Saturday. Thank you.
Yeah. Can I say to you, you're more than welcome, sure. What are we if we can't help each other out? And I could see he needed help, and I was only glad to help him. And he said to me, could he pay me? But I didn't want to take any money. But afterwards, I thought, what I would say to him about it is, I would like him to put €5 in the charity box, and I'd like him to look out for someone else who needs help and to go and help them and pass it on. That's what I'd like.
He told me that, Mary, and he's definitely going to do that for you.
And Mary, have you done this before?
No, I'm not in the habit of all sorts of taxiing people around, even though I love driving my electric car. But it was just, I think, Joe, I'm a retired teacher, so, you know, he was a young fellow who I could see needed help. I could see he was stressed. I could see that he needed help. So
Well done.
Thank you so much.
Mary and Margaret, I don't know if Margaret can hear me now because we're now on Margaret's. I can see
it
now.
Can,
Evan, I can see it. Is that Mary back to me? Margaret. Margaret, I can see it now. East Wall, Evan lost the musical. Coming soon. Will you stay there? Because people are running in with tickets to give to Margaret and Mary for their brilliant acting. Stay with us.
Thank you, Margaret. Yeah, Joe.
Will you tell Mary to answer the phone? We're going to ring her directly now and stop hiding under the duvet. Now that she's on air. Joe at RTE.ie.
Yeah, she's
funny. Back
talk
in a sec.
To Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Margaret Delphine Duffy contacted us. Her son Evan got lost in Dublin, in East Wall, last Saturday afternoon after the game. The wonderful, wonderful, best hurling game I've ever seen, best hurling match I've ever seen. But I say that about every hurling match, it just gets better. But anyway, he got lost afterwards, and he was in East Wall, sat nav gone, didn't know which direction. It's a maze down there, I'm telling you, with all the things. And this woman in the garden called Mary McMahon, who we now know, took off her. He went up to her and he said, "Can you help me?" And she said, "Yes, what can I do?" And he said, "I need to find Bourke." And Mary put Evan into her electric car, as she keeps reminding us, which she loves, and drove him to Bourke as a random, a great act of kindness. Margaret, Mary's phone is still acting up there, but we have tickets for Imelda May in the Olympia, and that is... Imelda May, mother of the beans, mother of all the beans. That's on in the Olympia, as far as I remember. And we also have Tom Crean, which is a brilliant, brilliant play that's been brought back. So I think we've enough tickets that the two of you, I don't know if you're Margaret and Mary, the two of you can go together in the little Renault Zoe up the quays. Well, Parliament Street is closed now. So anyway, enjoy. Margaret, thanks indeed for doing the detective work. And and Mary McMahon, Margaret Gormley, yeah. And Mary McMahon. And mind yourselves.
Thank you, Mary.
Okay.
Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye. Thank you, girls.
Brilliant.
Bye.
And Delphine, and we're saying hello to Evan as well. We're saying hello to Evan as well in Limerick. Okay, where's Eileen? Eileen, before I go, what is it? Another act of human kindness. God knows we need it. Tell us,
hi,
Eileen.
Joe.
What happened? Yeah.
So I sell crepes in the farmer's market in St. Anne's Park every Saturday. So
that's in Dublin, in Clontarf-Raheny, yeah, in Dublin.
Yeah. And I sell ice cream as well. Okay, so a few weeks ago, this couple came down to me. We were nearly finished the day, and they wanted $2.99 and a can of a 7-Up, right?
Okay. Was it one of those gloriously summery days?
It was an absolute scorcher. The poor pair were absolutely medium rare with the heat.
Okay.
So I poured them a couple of ice creams, and they were delighted. Got out the can of 7-Up, and they went to pay me by card.
Okay.
Now, I know you know the park, Joe, and the signal down there is beyond horrible.
Dreadful.
So
yeah.
The cards wouldn't work, right? So I said, look, they haven't got any cash. I said, don't worry about it. Next time you're down, you know, come over to me.
Did you not ask for the 99s back?
I did, for the crack. And the they were nearly handing them back to me. I said, will you stop? I'm only having a laugh with you. So anyway, the cards wouldn't work and they were in a heap about it. And I said, don't worry about it. Do you know what I mean? So I said, next time you're down. And they said, oh, we're not local. And I said, look, pay it forward, you know, throw a few bobbins.
Yeah, well said.
Doesn't matter, right? So Niall, who was the gentleman, said, oh, well, I won't take the drink then. So I haven't opened it. And I'm saying, would you take the drink, for God's sake? Anyway, that was grand. I forgot all about it, didn't even think about it. Roll on, 2 or 3 weeks later, they arrived back to me.
Brilliant.
And the lady was called Sandra. And she said, do you remember us? And I didn't for a second. And she said, you gave us ice creams and a drink a couple of weeks ago. And the card machine wasn't working. And I said, ah, yeah, grand. Yeah. Well, we're back to pay you. And I said, oh, just as well. I said, I was telling all the traders not to serve you. You know, you were going off without paying.
Photographs on every tree. Wanted.
On every tree, yeah. So anyway, she has a bottle, you know, a bottle in a lovely gift bag.
Oh,
and
lovely.
She said, there you go. And thanks so much for your kindness. Well, Joe, I nearly cried. I said, oh, my God. I said, that is the most expensive bloody 99s you've ever had. I said, you're so good. You didn't need to do that. Oh, no, no, no. And I'm so sorry it took us a couple of weeks to come back.
That's
but we had christening on and blah, blah, blah. Right? And I was saying, well, you'd be worrying. So
Niall and Sandra from Balbriggan.
Niall and Sandra. So that was, they said, oh, we got the train. We're coming from Balbriggan. Now, I don't know if they live there or they're from there or just coming from there. I said, oh, my God. They got the train and the bus and they came from Balbriggan with the bottle of wine. She said, I'm here to pay you now. I said, you will not pay me for those ice creams. I'm telling you now.
Okay, so well done. Are you there? Are you there on Saturday?
The Rose Festival is on Saturday.
Yeah, I know that. I'm going to go up to it. If you're there, I'll definitely come over with my credit card and hope that the machine isn't working.
And then
I know I'm going to St. Anne's Park on Saturday morning and then I'm going to Malahide Castle in the afternoon because the Lions Club in Malahide are having a wonderful event to celebrate their 50th anniversary. I'm looking forward to that. Okay, back tomorrow. Today's producer was Nadine Maloney and Ray Darcy is next.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.